evening, everyone, on this holy Saturday evening, and welcome to Bet on Chicago here on WLS 890 AM. I am Mike Palm. I will be your host for the evening. You can follow me on X, or Twitter, as they used to call it, at Mike Palm Circa, Vice President of Operations for Circa, the D in Golden Gate here in downtown Las Vegas, as well as being a host and frequent guest on VSiN. Well, what a wild ride that it was last week with the Masters. And of course, we shared with you the story of the bet that we took on Matt McCarty, a relative unknown golfer. He had won one outing on the PGA Tour, but other than that, had not placed in the top 10. We had a gentleman who was referred to us by someone Jeffrey Benson used to work with. Now, Jeff Benson is the director of operations at Circa and also oversees all front of house sportsbook operations. He will join the program at the bottom of the hour, of the first hour this evening. And Jeff's going to talk about booking the NFL draft, what Circa's doing, how we came to that decision, any early movement as we posted the numbers yesterday, that being Thursday, as we're recording this on Good Friday. And he's also someone who loves to bet the draft. So we'll get Jeff's insights on what his best bets are as well. But someone he used to work with referred a player to us. This gentleman, who they said was one of their best two or three sports bettors, his company was sponsoring Matt McCarty at the Masters. So he wanted to bet $10,000 on Matt McCarty to win the Masters. Now, when Jeff sent the group text to us about the request, I had to look up Matt McCarty, I'll be honest with you, and we were offering him at 775-1. So then the discussion ensued about how much of this bet do we want to take? Do we want to take all of it? That's almost an $8 million liability. Do we want to take some of it? How much of it? Jeff Davis, who used to be the director of sports at Caesars and manages our golf market, manages our hockey markets. We'll have him as a guest on the show here in the next few weeks during the Stanley Cup playoffs, and manages our college baseball markets. Said, you know, you really shouldn't take a bet to lose more than you make on the entire sport in a year, which was a very valid point. And we ended up taking the bet to win $2 million on Matt McCarty. Well, this young man at 775-1 was only three shots off the lead after day one, and we reoffered him at 200. The market was around 225-1. We reoffered him at 175-1. And then lo and behold, he shoots another great round on Friday. And now the market has him at around 65 or 70-1. We have him at 50-1. And there was a point there where he was about 5 or 6 holes in on Saturday, two shots off the lead, where most books were offering him around 25 or 30-1. Well, he struggled in the back nine on Saturday. So we were able to overcome that bet. The other very interesting thing about the Masters, and we wrote more on the Masters this year than at any other time, was the amount of money on the no on Justin Rose, who we got all the way to a playoff. It was incredible. The six-figure bets that came in Friday night into Saturday morning, he was the leader after 18 holes. Justin Rose was the leader after 36 holes. But they just continued to pound the no, which they had like 18-1 and then 19-1 and then 20-1. So it would have been a massive swing if he'd have won. We still made a small winner to Rory, but as always, the Masters never really disappoints. Big show on tap for you this evening. Coming up in a few moments, we'll have Jenson Lewis, former Major League Baseball relief pitcher for the Cleveland Indians at the time. He's going to discuss his early season thoughts, which teams is he writing off, which teams have surprised him and are legitimate contenders in their divisions. As I mentioned, Jeff Benson at the bottom of the hour. Top of next hour, Jonathan Von Tobel, VSiN's NBA expert. We are ready to get set with the NBA playoffs, and Jonathan will give you all his best bets for the first round series. And we'll conclude the show with Jonathan Davis, our hockey expert. NHL Stanley Cup playoffs starting today as well. We get Jonathan's Best Bets, and Stanley Cup Futures. It's Bet on Chicago, WLS 890 AM. This is 890 WLS, and this is Bet on Chicago. And as promised, our first guest this evening is none other than Jensen Lewis. Jensen, former major league pitcher for the Cleveland, at the time, Indians. Also host VSiN by the Books weekdays with Dave Ross. You can catch him Central Time from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. every morning. And so we thank you for joining us as we tape this on Good Friday. Jensen, thanks for taking some time with us.
No problem, Mikey. Always great to be with you.
What is your biggest takeaway from this early Major League Baseball season? There's one for me in particular that I didn't have coming into the season. And, you know, after watching, 20 games, 19 games most teams have played, I find this truth to be self-evident, but I want to hear yours first.
Yeah, I think we'll say right there in Chicago, right? The offensive onslaught from the Cubs and seeing what they've been able to put up right now. I think entering play this afternoon, a plus 36 run differential, top spot there in the National League Central, and also in the same breath, the San Diego Padres, the absolute dominance that they've had at Petco Park, a 12-1 home record. They'll take their show on the road going up against Houston this weekend starting tonight. So I think those are the two stark things that stand out to me from a National League perspective. And then also just the American League. Mikey, I think you and I talked about it before the season, the parity that would we thought could play out is certainly bared itself out thus far with the Yankees and the Tigers and the Rangers, all division leaders, but within a game of each other entering play on Friday. So some things I think we anticipated, but also some surprises as well.
Yeah, I think from my preseason takes that, you know, it looks so far, the Cubs so far so good. And Texas definitely has a shot to have the best record in the American League. So we're very live there. Two great series with the Southern California teams going to Texas, as you mentioned, the Padres at Astros, but also Dodgers at the Rangers in a great matchup tonight, Yamamoto against DeGrom. I tell you, when I watch Yamamoto, you know this phrase, non-competitive pitches, he really doesn't throw any. Like even when he misses, those pitches are really close. And so I really enjoy watching him pitch. I go back to before I knew you, Jensen, we know some executives with the Dodgers. And when they announced Yamamoto for game one against the Padres, I called him, one of the executives, and I said, look, is Flaherty not even going to go in the series, right? Is he hurt? Is he sick? Is that why it's Yamamoto? And he goes, no, not at all. He said, in a game five, we want Yamamoto on the mound, not Flaherty. And I mean, it bore itself out. He beats Darvish 2-0. So my self-evident truth is that the Tigers are the class of the American League Central. I thought this was going to, you know, four teams that had a pretty equal chance to win the division. I took a shot with the longest of the four, the Royals. I don't feel very good about that at all. To me, it looks like the Tigers can run away and hide. And I know your Guardians are 500 right now, and you're going to go watch them play this weekend in Pittsburgh. But it looks to me like the Tigers are a head and shoulders above. And so I made a fairly substantial wager at plus 115 yesterday on the Tigers to win the division.
Yeah, I think that's great. Also, I think I've got the Tigers either 13-1 or 14-1 in pocket to win the American League. And I shared your sentiments as well that I felt that you could have seen maybe some regression in Kansas City a little bit, but I thought they'd have enough to be able to get across the finish line. Still very early in this young season, but I totally agree with you. The pitching staff was something I think you and I both could bank on very much so with what Detroit was bringing back. But the emergence of Spencer Torkelson, and I know Tiger fans have been sitting here saying, you know, we've seen the potential, and then such a drop off last year, so much so to have to go back to AAA. Boy, the reemergence has been so critical to their success. Kerry Carpenter has been fantastic for them. And this is all with Riley Green really yet to get going, a guy that they were going to bank on a lot. So the offense, much, much better to start 2025 than they were pretty much for the entirety of 2024.
Yeah, I mean, we think of that Tigers team coming a game from the American League Championship Series, but they really didn't put it together till September. Mm-hmm. I used to tell Derek, I said, because he had all the future tickets last year, and I said, you got five guys hitting 220. I mean, how are you going to win anything? And then they went on the run in September and really sort of carried that, and Skubal a little scuffle to get off, but now back in groove here, and I'm a big Reese Olson guy, so I'm I'm high on the Tigers as well. What do you make of the Astros? I'm on the borderline here of saying I'm maybe taking a position, no playoffs on the Astros.
Yeah, we just kind of talked about it on Buy the Books today. I gave out a couple of teams that have been really struggling out of the gate. I threw Baltimore in there, pretty much minus $1.10 everywhere you look, both the yes and the no there, as they began play, I think 3.5 games back of the Yankees for the top spot in the American League East. The Astros, a team that 3.5 as well, behind Texas, and I threw the Braves in there. Mikey, I think you and I and Dave Ross talked about it this week, that you're this close to now. They're 6.5 games out. Like, I had to do a double take at the standings to say, holy crap, the Braves are a week out of a playoff spot. We are not even to the end of April yet. That just kind of tells you the struggles that they've had. But I'm with you on Houston. They were not a playoff team for me in my preseason rankings and my preseason predictions. I think a lot has been, you know, confirmed early on with the struggles of that offense. Isn't it amazing when you take Alex Bregman and Kyle Tucker out of that offensive onslaught and how different that pitchers will go attack Yordan Alvarez and even now Christian Walker. So a lot of questions I think the Astros have to answer offensively, even with some great starts and even particularly Hunter Brown on the pitching side and Josh Hader. But man, this is the first time, Mike, I think we've really seen Houston day in and day out. You don't know offensively what you're going to get.
Right, you could always count on them for that 3 or 4 run inning, and now they just try to string together a couple of ones and get to 4, and it's much different, and not only the opposing pitchers, but how your own pitchers have to pitch. And you were right on Framber so far. NFL draft coming up on Thursday. We hung I think 13 or 14 guys up yesterday afternoon. We've seen some significant movement. I mean, we were going to move pretty quick. It doesn't take that much money because the limits are lower. But we've seen some pretty significant movement already. How are you attacking the draft this year?
Yeah, I did a couple of those matchups, the over-unders there as well, and took a couple of stabs at some guys to be drafted in the first round. Maybe a bit of a homer pick for me as a Buckeye fan. Travion Henderson at plus 105. We've seen many years, Mike, where back end of that first round or maybe in the end of the first round, a running back sneaks through there. We'll see if maybe in the 20s that there's a team that might want to jump and get him. I know Omarion Hampton out of North Carolina, I did take him under 19.5 at plus 145. A little bit more value for me there on DraftKings, but again, kind of that same narrative in the running back room. We know Ashton Jonte is going to get taken early, just a matter of where that second running back might go. So 2+ money chances for me if it's either Hampton or Henderson. The two favorites that I have, Matthew Golden under 17.5. I think at $1.15 is what I got on DraftKings. Be anxious to see if there is that run, and maybe it does begin with the Cowboys at 12, if not earlier, of where receivers could go. Tet McMillan, of course, out of Arizona, going to be a guy that you target as well. But Matthew Golden under 17.5. And then I also went with Kelvin Banks Jr. under 13.5. That a little more expensive at minus $1.50. Thinking where O linemen are going to be here in this draft and what maybe teams start doing as early as 5 with Jacksonville. If it's not Will Campbell at 4 to the Patriots, you know, where does that cascade kind of fall? So anxious to see from just the line perspective how that ends up transpiring once we get past the big 3.
Yeah, Hampton, we opened 20.5. He's down to 19.5. Golden, we opened 18.5. He's down to 16.5.
Wow.
Yeah, McMillan, 18.5. The juice on the under from 130 to 175. Genty, at 6.5, the over was favored. The under was even money. Now the under is minus $2.
Wow.
So that's pretty significant there as well on Genty. And I know there's a whole slew of teams probably between 6 and 10 or 12 that want to take him. Just depends on who's going to grab him up. All right. Exciting time. NBA and NHL first round playoffs are about to get underway. I know you always have some great future tickets in your pocket. I want to talk about first, specifically any first round matchups you like in the NBA.
I think for me, the one I've circled in both leagues first, and this obviously being a Cavaliers fan, anxious to see who they would potentially match up in the second round. And with the Pacers and the Bucks here, I do think Indiana is in a spot to be able to get past Milwaukee, even if Damian Lillard is going to be able to play throughout that series. So the Pacers, I think, present the most resistance for me against a Cavaliers team that, you know, regardless if it's Miami or if it's Atlanta, I don't think there's too much trepidation there for Cleveland to get past that first round opponent. So that one definitely focused on for the Eastern Conference. I think the West, I know everyone's looking at this Denver and this Clippers series, and the whole world, it feels like now, is on the Clippers. So is that a bad news? Because Nikola Jokic and company, hey, this is still a Denver team that, you know, is in a pretty good spot. So we'll see what that is. I think the other one, Mikey, anxious your thoughts on it. You know, Houston is a 2 seed being an underdog to the Golden State Warriors. I don't know if I can get on board with a Warrior team there that I feel like Houston is athletic. I think Amen Thompson is going to be really good against Steph Curry. So I like the Rockets in that opening round series as well.
So I bet the team, and I'm not an everyday NBA bettor, but the team I've made the most on money on this year has definitely been the Clippers. And especially since they've gotten healthy and he's figured out his rotations. I bet the opener there. I have the Clippers plus 120. I'm tempted just to arbitrage it right now because I don't like it either. I don't like it at all. And I can't really take a future position because they're going to get OKC in the next round. So it doesn't give me enough run to monetize. I bet the T-Wolves. I do like how they match up with the Lakers. But growing up in the David Stern NBA, I have a hard time believing they're going to let the second round be Rockets against T-Wolves when it could be it could be Lakers and Warriors, right? I mean, it's amazing the public support of the Warriors still because of Steph Curry. I mean, it's – and I think I've talked to you about this before. These biracial athletes can appeal to so many more people. And between Mahomes and Curry, I mean, and kids – young kids that grow up idolizing these guys. I don't know that we don't come to a world where it's going to be very hard in the next 20 years to be a single race megastar. That's just my social observation.
Amazing to see now too, and the NBA has always been really good at marketing their players, and you hope that Major League Baseball could take a cue from that. Just selfishly looking at it, you know, the NBA, it's so player driven, and not that you want that for every sport, but you know, you definitely relate. Like it's more a first Steph Durant. You know, you're hearing a lot more one names referrals to players, and everyone knows who you're talking about. I'll throw this out to you, Mike, because I thought it was fun. And this was way back when the Thunder and the Cavs got off to a great start. I do have a 35-1 exacta future for that finals matchup, but also a Thunder 9-1 ticket in pocket to win it all. And so I did add the Clippers, I think at 35-1 to win it all, just to see if that West goes into chaos. Your Timberwolves play, I absolutely love it because I almost took a Thunder Timberwolves Western Conference Finals matchup at plus 550. Not out of the realm of possibility that just because the number next to the seed of the Timberwolves is not indicative of really how talented they could be. So I'm with you. I want chaos. I'd love for the NBA to get upended a little bit and the apple cart, no Lakers, no Warriors, and see where it all plays out.
Yeah, people forget, you know, the T-Wolves hosted Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals last year. It's pretty funny. My sources in Minnesota tell me, though, if they lose this first round series, Finch might be in trouble. And I hate that. I think he's a pretty good coach. But it's, you know, when you isolate a young man to be your leader and superstar, and he may not have that maturity level yet, it's really tough on an organization. All right, let's switch to the ice because I know you've been very good with hockey. Especially since your time joining Dave on VSiN by the Books. Any first round series prices that stick out to you here?
I definitely will be looking at the Golden Knights. And also, I think when you look at where potentially the LA Kings series could be against Edmonton, you know, two really intriguing matchups for me. The good thing is I'll be rooting for both Vegas and LA to get through because I do have futures on both of them. The Knights, I actually bet twice. The highest one I have is 18-1. The Kings, I got at 22-1. So that'd be a nice little straight shot through to the West Finals if they get through.
Yeah, I have the Kings at 26-1. I might bet them again here against Edmonton as a dog. They just don't lose at home. And Edmonton, I don't think, still has found the goaltending solution they want. I know they went to Game 7 of the Finals last year, but I don't think they're as good as they were last year. I bet the Knights in 5 and 6 in this series. I took a little flyer here just because of this collapse of Dallas. I took the Avs to sweep them at 13-1. I mean, they've lost seven and really haven't been competitive. I mean, since blowing the 3-goal lead with a minute to go against Vancouver, they haven't been competitive. I have a future on the Lightning at 12-1. And the other future I have is on the Blues at 55-1. I was hoping they could get the one and get the Knights instead of Winnipeg. I don't know. I know Hellebuck, the next time he wins a big game in the playoffs will be the first time. But this team, just when they get the lead, they haven't lost. Leading after the first period, they haven't lost. And second period, they haven't lost. So it's pretty intimidating. I do think the Maple Leaf Senators is a very interesting price in that you have a division champ against a team that has no playoff experience. I know they brought Ullmark in. Hasn't been that dynamic to say. It's not like he carried them to the playoffs. And if you look at the stats, if you go deep into the numbers here, I mean, Toronto dominates almost every category, and yet they're only $1.75.
I think it baked into the market too. How many times have we seen this movie where Toronto has been very good and they can't get out of their own way? I think Ottawa does present, you know, that opportunity. Not that it is a free roll for them mentally, but all the pressure will be on Toronto to be able to get past in that series.
Jensen, thank you for the time. Enjoy the trip with your wife and have a great Easter weekend.
Thank you, Mike. You too. Happy Easter.
All right, when we come back, we'll take a look at the Nico Imaleva situation at the University of Tennessee and maybe UCLA. It's Bet on Chicago, WLS 890 AM.